forward to that day. Today we're celebrating hymn number 42. Hymn number 42, Saved by the Blood. Let's all stand, take a hymnal, hymn number 42. Sing like it's your testimony, Saved by the Blood. Do that again, Steve. We got people still looking. 42. Sing out now.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now rise from sin and the new world's begun. Sing praise the Father and praise to the Son.
Get to the chorus, just don't hold back, just let her rip, okay? On the last verse.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Boy, it's good to know the Lord Jesus. Good to know that heaven's your home. And it's good to know that God's still in the saving business. As many of you know, I went yesterday and had the great honor to lead my brother and his wife to the Lord Jesus yesterday. I mean, gloriously saved. Both of them just wept. Both of my brother just wailed. I mean, just wailed. I said, Lord, please save me. Save me. I'm telling you, thank God they're in church this morning. And he's, man, I'm telling you, what a joy. He's already told me. He told our pastor yesterday on the phone. We called him afterwards, and he couldn't even tell him what he'd done. He got crying so bad. About that time, Brother Bobby just got to wailing. He said, I can't take it. I can't take it. Because he'd been praying for Jeff for years. And I said, we had such a time yesterday. And thank you for praying. Many folks, I've had to call many preachers around the country and let them know God answered that prayer. But I appreciate you praying for them. And I'll tell you what a great day it was yesterday, the Lord. We're going to sing that last verse again. If you're saved, sing it out. If you're not, that'd be a good time to come get saved. Amen. And then if you do that, we'll sing it again so you can sing it with us. All right? Come on, let's sing that last verse again. Come on.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail the Father. All hail the Son.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the service. Glad to have some visitors with us today. We'll recognize them in a few moments, but let's pray and ask God to bless the service. When we're done, you can be seated in the audience and the choir sing another song. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Shelton, Starling, you pray for us.
that's your testimony today. Never been sorry. Well, we've got visitors around. Let's stand. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down. Let's go ahead and stand and have a time of fellowship together.
Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here at Anchor Baptist Church on a beautiful Lord's Day. A little cold out, cool out. No, it's cold. We just call it like we see it. It's cold. It's supposed to be spring, but listen, don't worry. One of these days, spring will spring, and then it's going to be 100 before you know it. And we'll be saying, oh, I wish for that Sunday in April. But that's all right. We'll make it through all right. Glad to see you in the service today. God bless you. We have some folks that are not able to be here. The Branhams, Sonny and Judy. Brother Sonny, you know, fell a few weeks ago, and he's still having some residual trouble with that. And so they're not here today. Andrew and Brittany are on their honeymoon. It took a couple of weeks to get there because of the scheduling, but they left Friday. And they're in the Dominican Republic. So pray for them while they're gone down there. Then let's see, Brother John Tyndall's at home sick. He had it for a while, then he picked it up. So he's kind of muddling through a sickness. So please remember that in prayer as well. And I'll have Brian come make out a couple announcements here in a minute. Continue to pray for Brother Steve Morris. Brother Steve battling with, he had his biopsy done about his prostate cancer, and they won't know anything until about the 20th or 21st, so they're just kind of waiting to hear. Remember him, Martha's at home still with her ankle recovering. The Melvin's here, Brother Melvin had some toe surgery, but he's here. He's got his, we call him Jesus sandals. He has Jesus sandals on today, and now he's one of the few people, I did notice it, Brother Melvin, I have to give you credit for this. Most of the time when people have surgery like that, they wear a boot or a shoe, and then they wear their other dress shoes. But he is fashionable. He wore both Jesus sandals. They match, and so that's all right. He's doing good. He'll be our new fashion plate around here. But I'm glad he's doing well. You continue to pray for him. Susan is here. She's had a tough week. I like her daddy, though they kind of overdo it some. But I'm glad she's able to be here today with that hip. And so please remember all of these folks in prayer, if you would. I have one announcement here this coming week, actually starting today and going through Thursday night. They're having a revival over at Sunrise Baptist Church, where Brother Barry Spears is the pastor. Today through Wednesday, Brent Carr will be there with his family. Then Thursday night, Dr. Barry Goodman's going to be there. And I'm going to try to go Tuesday night if nothing don't happen. So if you'd like to, of course, everybody here knows where the church is in Lugoff there. And if you'd like to go, well, I know they'd be proud to have you come and visit over there. All right? And then I'll just do this, Brian, if that's all right, and take it PM. But the our revival starts a week from today. And so we're really excited. What I want to do is Tuesday and Thursday, want to have, as we did before, cottage prayer meeting. And so I need two volunteers who will volunteer their home for cottage prayer meeting. Tuesday night and Thursday night is ready for meeting. Anybody want to volunteer? I see. All right. We'll do one at our house. All right. And the cause? Okay. Let's see. You want to do it at your house? All right. Let's do that, Judy. Well, okay. Let's do Tuesday night, Brother Ed. Is that all right? Tuesday night at your place? Or would you rather have Thursday night? All right. Well, then we'll just come Monday and spend the night. How's that? Oh, no. We won't do that. They've had more in their house, I promise you. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Brother Edwin and Marilyn Shaw's. They live out in Lake Carolina. And let's meet out there Tuesday night at 7. And if you need an address, we can get that for you. And easy to find. Well, it's easy. It's got a couple of those called turnarounds or whatever you call them things. You have to, what is it? Roundabout. That's it. Turnaround, roundabout. I don't know. The way you got to navigate them things right, you'll wind up, Lord only knows, Lake Carolina's so big. So we'll have it over there. And then Thursday night at Michelle and Sister Brenda's home out off, and what is that? Which highway? Is that one? That's Highway 1 out in Lexington. And we need the, and that'll be Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And so we just get together to pray. Just go, we want to pray and fellowship and just testimonies. And we really enjoyed doing that before. And so let's do that this week. All right, but I hope you'll pray every day, not just those days, but every day. Spend some time in prayer for the meeting. Brother Brian Gurley, of course, and his family will be here with us. Brother Brian's a great preacher. I talked to him yesterday, and he's really excited about coming. And we're looking forward to having him. We had a great meeting with him last year. I mean, a really good revival meeting. And so we're looking forward to having him come back again this year. My brother even told me yesterday, he said, when's your revival? He said, I'm going to take a day off and go to a revival meeting down there. I'm telling you, he must have got saved if he wants to go to a revival meeting. So anyway, we're looking forward to having a great time in the Lord that Sunday through Wednesday, starting next Sunday. So Sunday will be the normal times, 10:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the evening, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we'll have special music, and I've sent out 30 flyers and invitations, local churches. Many of them will be here or try to have some folks come, maybe one or two of the nights. But we look forward to having a good crowd and just having a good time in the Lord. So just keep in mind, if you would. Okay, cool.
Maybe what we have this week now, the cottage prayer meeting. There was a ladies' meeting, a ladies' jubilee meeting scheduled for this Thursday. We're going to postpone that in lieu of the prayer meeting. All you ladies be involved Thursday evening at that Tuesday and Thursday, the pastors will send folks home. Nothing else this week. Of course, next revival. We got homeschool chapel on the 20th. That's Friday the 20th. So you got a little more than a week there. And our next sewing Saturday will be Saturday the 21st. So that'll be the third Saturday of the month. It rained out again yesterday. It seems like that happens a lot lately, but the Lord knows all about that. So He's going to control that weather. So that's all the more reason we need to get more men here. Next time, that's on Saturday the 21st. But y'all be faithful to those prayer meetings. And of course, the Wednesday night service here at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night is sandwiched between those prayer meetings. You'll be involved when we're happy to do this.
Recognize birthdays and anniversaries tonight. And we do have choir practice this afternoon at 4:30. So I'll be on time and in your place. 421. My sins are gone. We'll hold out that first word. So 421, let's sing together. Here we go. Watch that first note now.
Thank you.
again, and this time, instead of singing Praise God, shout it out when we get down there. Just on the chorus now.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, the ushers are coming ahead. We'll go ahead and get ready to take the offering. While they do, let's introduce our visitors to you right quickly. I had to have the Proctor family here. Just moved here. He's in the military over at Fort Jackson. Moved here from West Virginia. And we're glad to have him and his wife and children see Owen and Mason, right? Got it right. How about that? We're glad to have them here with us. And then glad to have Reggie back. Reggie, I forgot your last name because I don't have your card in front of me. Saban? Like Nick Saban? Oh, no relation? That's too bad. I was hit you up for a few tickets. But anyway, no. We're glad to have Reggie's been here before. He's recently moved here from Michigan. And this is his mother. And I forgot your name, man. I'm sorry. I apologize. Denise and Shelby, is that right? Or are you brother and sister? Okay. Well, I didn't want to go there first. Because every time I do, I get shot down. So, you know, and they kind of look at me like, that's my sister, not my girlfriend. Anyway, we're glad to have you folks. Y'all from Michigan, too, I'm assuming. Is that right? You're from, okay, where are you from, Shelby? All right, but she's a Texas gal, huh? All right, well, we're glad to have these folks with us today. God bless you. And so good to have you. And everybody else, I think, is home folks. And so just thankful that you're able to be in the service with us today. All right, now it's offering time, as you know. And so be sure and let's give as unto the Lord. Thank you for what you have given. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask His blessing on the offering. Father, we love You today, and what a joy it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, especially joyful for me today, know that an hour and a half from here in Monroe, North Carolina, sitting at the Bible Baptist Tabernacle is Jeff and B.J. Kirchinger, my brother and sister-in-law. Both of them born again, thank God. Yesterday, it's a joy to my soul to sit in their living room and tell them about Jesus. And both of them, Lord, just wept and begged God to save them. What a blessing that is. Father, I'm so grateful. God, I pray that You'll bless their life together, Lord. And they've been together a long time. And Jeff told me so many times yesterday, after he got saved, he said, I'm sorry that I wasted so many years. I'm glad, Lord. I'm glad that all that's under the blood now. Father, whatever days we have left before us, help us to serve You with all of our heart. God, I pray You'll bless them in their Christian walk. Lord, thank You for our visitors being here today. We're so glad to have them take time out of their day to come and be in service with us here at Anchor. I pray You'll bless them, Lord, and whatever endeavors they may be facing. Lord, lead them and guide them to serve You always. Now, Lord, we ask You to bless the offering, the gift and the giver. It be used for the glory of God, and we'll thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before Pastor comes this morning, we have a Starling family from St.
Lately I've been through some testing and trials. Felt like a detour that went on for miles. Standing here now looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive. And here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright. I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lion. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah, back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus, finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I've battled giants of failure and fear. Shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more, and I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah, back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus, finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
Lord,
I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah, back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus, finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I think Jake's turning the bass into a tear there. Wow. All right, well, thank you for those. All right, thank you. If your Bible's ready now, listen to the passage.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, that's good. Got to be thankful. I'll tell you, the Bible said in all things we give thanks. I'm thankful today to be here. Thankful to know I'm going to heaven. And thankful you're here. Come and listen to try to preach a little word of God to you this morning. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and I want to preach a little while on God incarnate. God incarnate. The word incarnate simply means in the flesh. Throughout the Old Testament, there are many times when the phrase, the angel of the Lord, appeared. Someone like Abraham, Noah, others, and throughout Scripture. But that was what is called a theophany or a Christophany. Term there simply means that that was God or in a bodily form before birth of Christ. We in chapter 1, although Christ has been born, Gospels are being written, but here we find probably one of the most found texts concerning not only the incarnation of Christ, but his one of the great doctrines of the Bible and of Anchor Baptist Church is the deity of Christ, meaning that he is both man and God. He is not one or the other. He's not just a mere image. The Bible said he's a testament, meaning that when you look in the mirror in the morning, you yourself. Not the mirror's idea of yourself. That's why it never pays to say mirror, mirror on the wall. Amen? Because the mirror's not going to tell you anything but show you exactly what you're looking at. And that's exactly who he is. He's not an image. He is not some type of. Is in fact God in the flesh. And the reason that many have trouble with that is because it is both unusual and strange for our human minds to think that anyone is more than one person at a time. And yet Jesus is really not, or God is not more than one person. He is the same person. I've used phrase often in describing either God or Jesus, Holy Ghost, the second or third person Godhead. But really, that's really unfair because they're not person Godhead. They are God. That's very important for people to understand. If you believe the Bible and believe salvation message, you have to believe that Jesus is more than a good man. He was more than a rabbi or a good man, and he was in fact on himself. Let's turn to John chapter 1 for just a moment. We'll read down to verse number 14. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. It's important right there. He is the beginning. He is the Word from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. But notice, and the Word was God. The Bible said the same was in the beginning God. So here we have separation of their attributes, even though you not find in the beginning was the Word. The word W in the word is capitalized. That's not a typographical error. It is a description of Jesus Christ. And so in the beginning was Jesus, as we read it, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was, and may I say, is God. And then it says, the same was in the beginning with God. So we see one person, yet we see doing different things. Now notice verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made was made. Now that certainly puts a crimp in the evolution theory, you know, that it just kind of happened and here we are. Yet the Bible said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Bible goes on, in him was life. And this life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Speaking of John the Baptist. Same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. That all men through him might believe. It was not that light. Was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. It's lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received not. But as many as received, hallelujah. But you ought to put your, if you recite, you can put your name right there. But as many as received, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Here we have the description of the deity of Christ. We've already said several verses talking about who he was from the beginning. It was not just, he was the Word. Not just there, he was there doing the work of creation. He was God the Father, he was God the Son, and he was God the Holy Ghost, and still is yet today. But now the Bible then transfers to the thought this morning, and that is that he was made flesh. What does that mean? The Bible said that he came, was born of a virgin. If you do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, then you can't be a Christian, because he's not like anyone else. Some of the versions of the Bible that are out now declare it this way, had a young woman conceived. Well, there's nothing miraculous about that. That happens thousands of times a day around the world. Young women have babies. Women have babies every day. But listen, there's only been one in the history of the world that ever conceived a child without the aid of a husband. But there was nothing wicked or sinful about it. Was that the Holy Ghost descended upon Mary and she conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now there are some of our, what you might call mainstream denominations, I call them cults myself, that'll tell you that at some time God came down and had physical relations with Mary. That's out of hell, don't you believe that? God would never stoop to that level. He doesn't have to stoop that level. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth her firstborn son. Amen. And so you better be careful about that. But he did come in the flesh. He was born. He had a physical body that felt pain and sorrow and joy and hunger and thirst. All of those things throughout his life in the Gospels. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I'll stop reading right there. Now I want to look at this text this morning. As I said, there's not a more concise and profound statement of the deity of Christ as found in the text we're reading here this morning. Jesus is called the Word of God in the text. Now you say, preacher, just believe it if you see it one time. Well, if you read the Bible, one time's enough. But wait, there's something else in Hebrew, in 1 John 5 and verse 7. The Bible said this, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Not only does that describe the doctrine of the deity of Christ, it describes the doctrine of the Trinity of God. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Trinity is real. There are three. Amen. The Bible said there are three in heaven that bear record. Describes them, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. But they're all one. I say, preacher, can you help me with that a little more? Nope. Or can't. That's all I know. You say, well, don't you want to understand it better? Don't have to. I just believe it, praise God. Hey, I'm glad the God that loved me, the Jesus that saved me, and the Holy Ghost that leads me, they're all at work in my life, whether they work all at once or three different ways. I'm glad to know I'm part of the family of God, aren't you? And so I'm glad for that today. I told you in verse 1 that Jesus is the first word. He's the first word. In the beginning was the Word. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God, who we now know is Jesus Christ, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And how did he do it? He said. It was not until he made Eve that he used hands to create something. Now, the Bible said with Adam, he took the dust of the ground, but he said, let us make man in our image. And so here's the power of words. So you have a powerful thing between your lips, called your tongue. In fact, James said, what great a matter, a little fire kindled. I mean, that thing that you call a tongue can be used to honor God and to honor people, or it can be used to tear people down, to be disruptive, to be hurtful and harmful. Happens all the time. We've all been guilty of doing both. Words are powerful. I want you to think about that now. As we look into this message this morning, He's not only the first word, but in Revelation 21, He's the final word. The next to last verse in the Bible is Jesus in words in red that say, "Surely I come quickly." Thank God, I'm glad He started it, and He's going to finish it. Amen. And said, "Well, we've got to take care of the planet or it'll blow up. It's not going to blow up until God's finished with it. You'll have air to breathe, water to drink. Listen, don't you worry about it. God didn't make it halfway. He didn't make it to only last a few little while. He said till He's done with it." Amen. Well, I know we're not supposed to be political in the pulpit, but a lot of folks tell all these lies about Mother Earth, Mother Nature and Father Earth and all this stuff. Bible said in the beginning, God. Amen. Well, He's not only the first word and the final word, because we know that words are a means of communication. You ever want to talk to someone? And yesterday, in fact, is after my brother and sister-in-law got saved, we jumped in the car and rode to Rock Hill to have lunch with my mother and rejoice with her. And so Jeff got in the front seat, in the back seat, driving down the road. He said, "I know a shortcut." I said, "Well, you'll have to tell it to me and tell me when to turn, because I don't know where you're talking about." So here we go down the road. Well, the first turn we got to, we were talking. Well, you know, here's what he did. He said, that's all he did. I didn't see it, so I went past it. He said, "You're supposed to turn right there." Didn't say anything. In fact, BJ, the sensible one in the marriage, "Well, Jeff, you didn't say nothing." I said, "Well," then he went the other direction. So I had to turn around, go back, turn where he said. We're going down the road. I mean, probably 2 miles before the next turn. He said, "Now, you're going to turn right up here. You're going to turn right up here. You're going to turn right up here. You're going to turn right up here." And finally, BJ said, "All right, I think we got it. Just hush." Now, you know, they've only been saved 15 minutes. I mean, you can't expect to just be perfect right off the bat. But anyway, I told, and he said, "Well," he said, "you wanted to know, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, but you don't have to tell me if I had times between now and then." But because words used in the proper place and at the proper time can communicate idea that you want to share. Now, the Bible also said that words also create. Bible said that words corrupt good manners. I think that's quite right. Some of that effect. My wife knows that verse good because she talks to me all the time. She's a nurse. I can't get help from her. Anyway, evil communication. That's it. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And so we know that can go both ways. Words and communication. By the way, you'll notice the first phrase of the text, "In the beginning was the word." Sounds to me like God had something to say. And so He started with words. Not with words. He started with the word. Amen. And so it's a form of communication. Words are also a means of manifestation. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. In other words, you can say things that can certainly present a different light, but it won't be long before what you are comes out. It won't be long before what you are and what you think and what your character is will come out. And words can be used camouflage, but they'll ultimately be used to bring about people's recognition of who you are. And then words can also are a means of revelation. Revelation, as our words reveal our hearts and minds, so Jesus Christ is the word that reveals God's heart and mind. Look at verse 18 in John 1, what it said. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." If you're going to believe in God, you're going to have to take Jesus for it. Amen. The Bible said that's what He came for, to declare God. Somebody said, "Well, I believe in God." Well, then you heard somebody mention to you that Jesus mentioned. You say, "Well, no." Well, wait a minute now. What about, you say, "Well, I read that in the Bible." Well, guess what the Bible is? That's the Word of God. And guess who Jesus is? In the beginning was the Word. So guess who declared to you who God was? Whether you know it or not, Jesus told you who He was. Listen, who wouldn't brag on a good daddy or mama? Wouldn't brag on a good husband or wife or children? I mean, man, you like doing that. You like using those words to reveal to people the character and the personality of those husbands. Well, can you imagine? Here's Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, bragging on His Father. How many times we read in the Scripture where God bragged on Jesus? You remember when He was at Jordan? And the Bible said the dove descended upon the shoulder of the Lord, and the voice of God came from heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thank God. Well, it's always good to have dad's approval, isn't it? Amen. Yes, sir. And so, I want us to look quickly, if we can now, if we might, just a few things about God incarnate, being in the flesh. Number one, look at verse 11 of the text. We find that God came to us. God came to us. Verse number 11, the Bible said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, in the context of the passage, He's talking about the Jews, that Jesus Christ first came, the Jews, and he preached to Jews, and all that he did was not, didn't mean that the Gentiles couldn't have it, and they did, but it was directed to the Jews. Now, understand the ladies, as you started studying in some of the book of Acts, you just finished the book of Acts in the adult auditorium class, and we know that Acts is a book of transition. It goes from the Gospels that directed the message to the Jews. Now the message is being directed to that other people called the Gentiles. That's where you and I got included in this thing called salvation. So I'm glad for that today. Listen, and this is interesting. My brother, now you understand, my brother, we didn't grow up in church all of our lives, but our teenagers, when my dad got saved, we did go to church. Went to a good Bible preacher church, Sunday school. In fact, I didn't know this until yesterday. I talked to Steve Morris and told him we were praying for him. And he heard about Jeff and BJ, and he told me, he said, when Steve and Debbie were the youth leaders at our church in mission, Jeff was in there. I didn't know that. I'd already moved away from home, so I wasn't aware of that. And so anyway, here's what he told me. I was talking to him about the Lord, and he was really, I told some folks this. If I ever saw the devil fight for the soul of someone, it was my brother. He agonized. He made a profession 30 years ago, and it wasn't real. I knew it, but he said, I know I need to get saved, but I don't want to fail again. I need God to tell me I'm not going to fail tonight. Man, God's not going to teach that. The Bible said, for by grace you're saved through faith. You've got to trust God. And so finally, he said, man, I'm afraid. I said, well, God's not the offer of it. He doesn't bring fear. That's the devil making him afraid. Finally, he looked, he put his head in his hands, he was wailing. He said, I'm afraid. And finally, he took his hands down. He said, I'm ready to let go. Hallelujah. Well, I said, you pray. And he was weeping. God saved me. Take my fear away. Thank God, I'm glad he did. It was the words. I told him, I said, I want you to pray after me. I don't want you to tell anybody you prayed after me. I said, I want you to tell God what you want. Boy, he told him. I'm telling you, in no uncertain terms, he told him what he wanted. And I'm glad to report that he got what he asked for. Hallelujah. Well, and here's what Jeff told me, though. He said, you know, I appreciate you. He told me, he said, I'm glad you came. He said, I know I didn't find God. I know he found. Hallelujah. That's right. Listen, if you go to heaven, it won't be because you came to God. It's because he came to you. You don't get saved when you're ready. You get saved when he's ready. Hallelujah. Good thing about it, though, is while he's getting ready, he's getting you ready. But when you meet, when two men meet together and both are ready, buddy, you talk about gloriously getting saved. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible said. He came to us. Notice he came willingly. But he forced him to come. He came willingly. He came knowingly. The Bible declares that he knew about Calvary. He told his disciples, he said, I set my face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He knew he was going to die for us. Came anyway. I think it was Brother Steve said something in Sunday school, maybe, about, he said, if I knew where I was going to die, I'd never go there. And you know that's the truth. If you knew the place you're going to die, you can go there on purpose. Jesus knew exactly where he was going to die and went anyway. That's God coming to it. If the man, the human side of him said, I don't want to do this. But the God side said, but I have to. He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Then God, the God in him, the love of God in him spoke up and said, but not my will, but thine. Thank God, I'm glad he went all the way. Willingly, knowingly, and singularly, I guess. Meaning nobody else could. All of us in this room put together couldn't do it. I saw Ged on the World News, every year. Around each time they show certain parts of the world where they're so bent on man's religion until they'll actually either pretend or even go through a crucifixion. They'll put themselves on a cross and be walked and carried down, trying to pick up Jesus. Listen, I don't care if everybody in the world was held to a cross. They'll never be able to depict what Jesus put through. That blood, human blood, is tainted. It's corrupted. It's wicked and sinful. But thank God, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us of all sin. Hallelujah. I'm glad he came. God came to us. Number two, look at verse 14. God became like us. God became like us. The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 2 and 14 says, for as much then as the children. Now you think about physical birth. Those kids are born, they're not born spirits, not born ghosts. They come out with flesh and blood, don't they? They sure do. And notice the Bible said, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he, talking about Jesus, also, likewise, took part of this. Was conceived of the Holy Ghost and the Immaculate Conception. That's right. Can I say this? He had a body. He had flesh. He grew up. He fed. He sold. He nurtured. He was hugged on. And listen, can you imagine old Joseph taking that little baby Jesus kissing on them cheeks? Boy, I think about Chloe over here. Chloe's got the best kissing cheeks I've ever seen. I'm telling you, you could just fall on there. So well, can you imagine Joseph and Mary holding the Son of God, being able to kiss on them, to look at him and say, with parental love, say, I love you. And what they didn't know, because I don't believe one minute that Jesus, an infant, could talk. I mean, I guess he could have wanted to, but I don't think. All the while, they looked at him and said, I love you, son. All the while in that little heart, you're looking back at those areas. I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, what a blessing. At his birth, he came, but he never was. Never. Well, he came what he never was, while remaining all that he ever. Think about that. Same session held among us, but he never stopped being. Hey, he was made a man in all parts, just like anybody else, but he's apart from all the same. The Bible said there was no guile in him. Hey, he was never, ready? Was never a sharer of man. Thank God he's the bearer of man's sin. That makes him special. And only he have done it. Well, I'm glad God came to us. I gotta hurry on. I'm glad God became like us. Not only did he come like us, but can I say quickly, and I must head, God revealed his glory. Look at verse number 14 again. The Bible said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And guess what? Parenthesis. You know what that means? I just said something really good, but now I'm gonna say something even better. Yeah. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father of grace and truth. I'm glad to report today that he revealed his glory to us. Notice there's a blending of truth here. What it says. The Bible says full of two things. Grace and truth. Can't have one without the other. But you gotta have them both if you want to have either one. Don't ask me to repeat that. I couldn't say that again if I had to. Now, my wife was involved in art as a young lady. My mother was. My mother painted pictures all of her life. I mean, some in our home. And she's an artist. But I got to look, and I don't know if you remember, my mother told me, about a, I don't know, a law, I guess it's principle in art, get that way. This is what it is. The beauty of art is made up in curves. It's made up of curves that feminine side of, and straight lines. Masculine. Now, that's the principle in art. Curves and straight lines. That's what art is, right? Draw a picture. What are you going to do? You draw a curve and or straight line. The curved line represent grace. And by the way, you can have a picture without both. You can have a picture without both. Hey, the curved lines represent grace. Straight lines. You can't have it all if you don't have both. Here today, trust in anything that grace won't have one. I'm telling you, you don't mean here is at the 11:30. Hey, I'm glad he said full of grace and truth. It's a blended truth. Then I want you to notice not only the blending of his attributes, but notice the balance of his attributes. Balance. And you read what Jesus did and how he preached. Oh, he was so different from the way we. Jesus is the only one who's so gracious among and yet denounced sin stronger than had. God had that ability. I wish I did. I wish I could talk to people and convey a message out having to go one way or the other. We're just not made that way. I don't know anybody could do this. But I do know some people have left that way. A pastor is one. I can't tell you how many times when I first moved down here and I was touching him, I didn't know much. I'd say something, leave me aside. And grateful, not done. I love that. He had a way, well, how low down you were. Say it in such a way that you pretend. I don't have that ability. I'm afraid. I wish I did. But you know, Jesus, I only the man next grace and truth, he had the balance. Spoken word may be something directed at someone. Whatever you said directed someone fires at a nod or a look or an action. Word fires. Here we find that God in the flesh spoken calls the word. Notice he's not called the picture, not called the wink, not called the look. Called the word. I believe God did that and set this for a run. So while you're here today to hear the word of God and to respond, whether you respond in your heart with an amen or out loud, with, or if it was funny, Wednesday night. I haven't had this happen in a long time. Ed, when I'm over, I don't think there's all. The message tonight, I really spoke to the end of it. One time, I was at the door shaking, walking like, I thought, now, you know, it was a big fella. Him walking like that, something was hurting. I mean, he walked all the way over to that. Finally, I said, okay. He said, no. I said, you hurt your butt. I said, no, you stole my toe. No, usually have folks tell me that. So they say, they just want to get out. Now, if I'm back here shaking hands more than this whole crowd walks towards me that way, I'm going to know y'all just pulling my leg. You see, when the word, the Bible said God chose to, you're not saved here today, but I've given you a message, a doctrinal fact. Something we, our belief, our chicken, our load of, how we are our music and all that, all based on the fact that Christ God. And he wasn't God, he wasn't part of a God, or just a good one, 11. For God so loved the world, and he gave. He didn't force him, he didn't command him, gave him. I believe in him, not perish. But I want to say God's word has been instrument. Praise and will be honored that's full of base. Not say today, now the Bible said today is find the world we want to gamble. Why would you want to gamble? Well, I'll come back next time. For me, they got under conviction. And they said, Lord, if you'll let me get back to the next service, I'll get saved. And they did. And I wouldn't because those if you'll get there. Well, I told God if he let me get there, I'd say, remember, you get saved on your turn. And God does not make Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll go. God doesn't make me. Lord, if you'll just give me this or that, I'll give more money. God doesn't make me. God, if you just let me live tonight, I'll get saved. God doesn't make or do by you, and it has been presented. Invitation. It's an invitation. Word that say, I would like some and or feet.
Bow and eyes closed a moment. We're going to sing a verse of a song. Musicians are coming. What I am now giving to you is what we call an invitation. And the words that need a response are this. If you're not saved or you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, we invite you to come to this altar and either get saved or get it settled. Now those are the words now you must respond to with either yes or no. I will or I won't. Remember I said that words can also be responded to by action. You don't have to say out loud, I'm not coming. You know what you need and the invitation has been presented and you stay where you are or you go out of here without Jesus Christ. You have responded to the words. Why would you want to do that when eternity in heaven and a great, great life, I'm telling you, in a Christian will give you the greatest life you could ever enjoy. Why would you want to just say no to that? Don't say no. Say yes. If you're here today and maybe there's some things in your life that you need to get right with God, the invitation is given to you to come and do that. Now again, what's your response? Yes or no? Or by action, coming or going? That's the response. But the word has been given. Now what are you going to do with it? You may have some need or some desire in your heart. Maybe someone you want to pray for. The invitation is given you to come and sit at this altar. Say, I'm going to pray for this or that and bring it to the Lord. That's your choice to make. The invitation's been given. How will you respond to these words? Heavenly Father, we love you today. I sure appreciate the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And I'm glad that when I preach God, it's because I know God, because He knows me, and I know that Jesus Christ is God today. The Bible said He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Whatever the need is here today, salvation, rededication, just a prayer request, may folks respond to the words of the invitation, make their way to this old-fashioned altar while we sing a few verses of an invitation song. We love you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you again for our visitors coming today. I trust that they've received what they came to find and get. Lord, we look forward to coming back this afternoon at 5:30 if you don't come back first or we don't die, and it could happen. We're looking forward to coming back and being back in the house of God again. It's the invitation in Jesus' name. Some are already